Well, good morning, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be asked back somewhere for a second time, because this show was the first time wasn't a complete train wreck. So I'm really thankful to be back here, and I really do count it as a privilege to be able to talk about Jesus and open the Bible with you guys. So thank you so much for the opportunity to do that. We are continuing the series throughout John's Gospel, and so the task we have today is to look at John chapter 10, but in addition to looking at the chapter of John chapter 10, the task before us today will be to look at this chapter through the eyes of the people who first heard these words of Jesus and to hear what Jesus is actually saying. Because some of the things that are said in John chapter 10, and indeed throughout all of John's gospel, they're lost on us because we live in completely different cultures, speak different language, live 2,000 years later. And so certain things which they would have taken for granted and would have heard, we sometimes miss in the text. And so we need to listen and see what it is that they would have listened to and what they would have seen. So that's a task we have this morning. And so, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 follows John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. And this is the end of a long conversation. This is the end of a long narrative that starts actually in John chapter 7, where Jesus enters Jerusalem and he goes up to the temple and he to celebrate a festival, the Festival of Tabernacles or the Festival of Booths, where they celebrate the fact that God led his people throughout the wilderness for 40 years. And so they celebrate that every year. And it's in this context, at this time of the year, Jesus goes into the temple and he has this conversation with the Pharisees where he talks about spiritual blindness, where he demonstrates that he's a forgiving savior. We have the episode of the woman caught in adultery that's brought to him into the temple in John chapter 8. And now the final part of this story, the final part of this narrative, is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10. But it is in fact a continuation of John chapter 9. Because remember, Jesus is talking about spiritual blindness. And then he goes into this section in John chapter 10. Now, we would be tempted to think that it's a new topic, that it's completely separate to what has gone before. But this is actually a continuation. This is all part of the same conversation that Jesus is having with these Pharisees. So Jesus starts off John chapter 10 with a metaphor that he is like a shepherd. Now, the image of being a shepherd wouldn't be a strange one to these guys. Throughout all of the Old Testament, God is described as being like a shepherd. We've just been singing it in Psalm 23, in other places, and also in places like Psalm 100. God's people, the Israelites, are described as being like his flock. And so that image would not be lost on them at all. But Jesus is contrasting the fact that he is not like them. Because again, in the Old Testament, in places like Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the unfaithful religious leaders who were in charge at the time, who were meant to be hearing the voice of God for the people, are described as destroyers of God's flock. So Jesus is contrasting himself as being a shepherd with them, the thieves and robbers, the ones who are deceiving God's people and leading them away actually from what God is meant for them to have and meant for them to receive. And so Jesus talks to them about him being a good shepherd, but they don't get it. And so he doubles down. And so if you have a Bible, we pick up the story in John chapter 10, verse 7. And we'll read through verse 10. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep haven't listened to them. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and they may have it to the full." So Jesus is reminding the Pharisees, again, it's a conversation with the religious leaders. He's reminding them that they are like the thieves. They are like the robbers. They are the ones who have led God's people away from what he actually wants for them. And that the sheep, the people of God, actually have the ability to hear what it is that God is saying to them. Because remember, Jesus said, they won't listen to them. Side note, if you are a Christian, if you have the Spirit of God in your life, if you are united with Christ, you have that same Spirit dwelling in you. That means that you can discern what it is that God is saying to you. You can hear something, you can read something, and something in your spirit will just be like, I just don't know if that's right. I just don't know if that's from the Lord. May I encourage you, listen to that. Because that might be the shepherd guiding you, his sheep. You have that ability as a child of God. Now, according to Jesus, shepherds have two functions. We read about it. They are to lead the sheep into the pen and out into pasture. You see that. They will come in and out of the pen and they will find green pastures, Jesus said. So there are two functions of the shepherd. And remember who Jesus is calling himself? He's calling himself the shepherd and also the gate to the sheep. So what is Jesus saying? Maybe you're someone who needs to be brought into the sheep pen. The sheep pen was designed to be a place of security and safety and comfort for the sheep. And maybe that's something that you need. Maybe you're looking for safety, security, comfort. Jesus is saying, I am the gate for that. Or do you need sustenance and freedom? Do you need to go out of the pen? Do you need to be released from something? Jesus is saying, I'm the gate for that too. In other words, whether you find yourself in a place where you need to be comforted and secured by God's love, or you need to be broken out of something and released into the abundant life that only Jesus can give you, he is saying, I am the gate for that. I am the gate. You come through me, and I can offer you this life. Something that the Pharisees said that they were offering. The religious leaders thought that they were offering, but actually had no ability whatsoever to deliver. We live in a world today that tells us that we are to work hard, get a good job, buy a house, save for a retirement, get security. But as we've been praying about this morning, security is something that can come and go very quickly, isn't it? In a moment, our lives can change. In a moment, our world can change. And so actually all that stuff doesn't bring us security. And oftentimes our peace is connected to that stuff. What happens when something breaks in the house, or our car breaks, or our health starts to fail, or a relationship breaks down? Our peace is often attached to that. And Jesus is saying, if you want true peace, true stability, something that only I can give you, I am the gate to that. Now, Jesus doesn't say that your life's going to be easy. Far from it. In fact, he promises that in this world you will have trouble. But your stability isn't connected to worldly stuff. It's connected to him. And whether you are in him and he is in you. So friends, this morning, I want to remind you that the safety that you may be looking for in a world of chaos, when the world's tearing itself apart, and the freedom that you may be desiring and longing for because something is holding you back, you can find it in Jesus. And it's available to you this morning. Jesus says that he's come to bring life. Now, life in the Jewish sense was, of course, about eternal life. It was like a shorthand for eternal life. And, of course, Jesus is promising the life that you will experience now, that he gives you, isn't just something that impacts you now. Of course, it does. It brings you stability, security, peace, and comfort here. But it extends on into eternity. In other words, guys, God sees things through the lens of eternity. It's not just something that he's going to fix now and not continue on into eternity. He's happy to do this now, but he's going to forsake you later on. No, this stuff lasts into eternity. And remember who Jesus is contrasting himself against, who he's talking to, the Pharisees, the religious people, who were trying to say to people, look, follow these things, do what I say you should do, and you will achieve life in God and life with God. And Jesus is saying, don't listen to it. I am the one who can give you this life. And I alone can give you this life. Pharisees, again, he's speaking to them in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 18. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I'm willing to lay my life down, only to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord, and I have the authority to take it up again. This is the command that I received from my Father. So a couple of things from these verses. First thing, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. Now we get to the real meat of it. Jesus calls himself, I am the good shepherd. Who's he talking to? The religious people. And in the religious worldview. They understood that God alone is the shepherd. We've been singing about it. We find it in the Old Testament scriptures. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," they would have thought, hang on a minute, God's our shepherd. Jesus is calling himself the good shepherd. Jesus is calling himself shepherd. Oh, Jesus is calling himself God. And they would pick that up. That might be lost on us just reading the text, but they would have understood that completely and clearly. Jesus is calling himself the good shepherd. God is the shepherd of Israel, so Jesus is calling himself God. The second thing for us to think about from these verses, Jesus says that just as the Father knows me, I know my sheep. I want you to think about this for a moment because this is really important for us to grasp. How does God the Father know Jesus? There are no words for the depth of love and intimacy that is shared between the Father and the Son. The Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is this eternal relationship of love given, love received, and love returned. This ongoing relationship and community of love. And Jesus is saying, just as I know the Father within that relationship with the Trinity, that depth of love and intimacy, I know my sheep just that way too. Friends, if you're in Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are welcomed into the inner life of God, the Holy Trinity. Meaning that that same love that they experience, the Father loving the Son loving the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, that is available to you too. You can know Jesus. You can know God as Father in the relationship, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, just as much as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father. That's what Jesus says. As the Father knows me, I know my sheep. That's amazing. Truly is amazing. And again, that's lost on us sometimes. But what we're called into as Christians isn't just to have our sins forgiven, isn't just to be transformed, but you and I are welcomed into the inner life of God himself. That's what it is to be united to Christ, right? That's what it is to be a Christian. Because when we are united to Christ, what's true of him becomes true of us. And we can know God in that same level of intensity and love in relationship. I wonder, do you know that? Do you know that you have that same access to God? That you can experience that same level of love and intimacy with the Father. Because Jesus said, if you're my sheep, it's available to you too. If you're in Christ, that's exactly what Jesus has on offer for you. Jesus talked about knowing. And of course, we know this, that knowing in the ancient world doesn't just have to do with like true and false statements. It's not just about knowing something to be factually true. This is about experience. God talks about knowing his people in a covenantal way in the Old Testament. And that's them knowing him truly and really as their God. And Jesus is saying that my sheep will know me. It's an experiential thing, guys. You can know that Jesus is your good shepherd without actually knowing that he is your good shepherd. You can sing that Jesus is your good shepherd and not know that he is your good shepherd. Jesus wants you to experience that, to live that, for that to be your day-to-day reality. Yeah, I'm his sheep. He is my shepherd. And I know that with that same love that the Father has for him. Needless to say, when Jesus says controversial stuff, some people love it, some people don't. And so continuing on into the chapter, the Pharisees kick back a little bit. And it switches scenes then. So halfway through John chapter 10, it goes from the Festival of Tabernacles to the Festival of Hanukkah, or the Festival of Dedication. And we pick up the story again. Jesus is in the temple. And in John chapter 10, verses 24, Jesus is asked this question. How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you didn't believe. The works I do in my Father's name, they testify about me. But you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, he is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And this is a theme that we see throughout the Gospels. Jesus being a little bit hidden, being a little bit secretive, being a little bit perhaps elusive as to who he is. And finally they just say, for goodness sake, Jesus, just tell us plainly, who are you? And Jesus says, I have told you. I've been doing all these things. Don't they speak for themselves? But Jesus affirms that his sheep Those who belong to him will know his voice. They will hear his voice and they will follow him. And the promise is again that he will give them life. Going back to John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, Jesus says, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Well, who's the thief in this context? It's the religious leaders. It's the unfaithful people who say they've been hearing from God for the people but haven't, and they've been leading them astray. And Jesus says, those people, those thieves, come to kill, to steal, and destroy any chance that you have a relationship with God. But I have come to offer you life, and life in its fullness, true life. And Jesus, again, further on in John chapter 10, he says this, and I give them eternal life, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. When it comes to security, when it comes to your security in life, when it comes to your security as a child of God into eternity, I want you to be assured, friends, that it does not rest on how good of a person you are. It doesn't rest on how good of a Christian you are. It rests on Jesus being a good Savior. And you being in him. You could say, Lord, I'm really struggling with this sin. I'm really struggling with this thing in my life. I haven't got it together. I'm not a good person at all. I'm not a good Christian at all. But Jesus, I trust in your mercy that you are my shepherd and that you are my Savior. And I'm clinging to you. Friends, that's enough. Because it's not about what you do. It's not how good of a person you are. It's about how good of a shepherd he is. And as Jesus says, no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. This is echoed, of course, in Romans chapter 8, where Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he goes through a list of things. Life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, all that sort of stuff. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But here's the catch. You have to be in Christ Jesus. You have to be in him. You have to be part of the sheepfold. You have to be one of the sheep. Friends, are you? Can you say with confidence, yeah, I belong to Jesus. I'm in the sheepfold. He is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I have everything that I need. And if that's the case, if you know that you're in him, Jesus says nothing will be able to snatch him out of my Father's hand. Nothing in life. No sickness. No pain. No job loss. No relationship breakdown. No war. No political situation, nothing will be able to snatch him out of my Father's hand. That's the security that is available to you today as a child of God, as one of his sheep. The security in is how good he is and not how good you are. In the end of this little section, Jesus just comes out and says it, doesn't he? And it's almost like he's got to a point where he's like, oh, I might as well just tell them, I'm the Father of one. I've been showing you through what I've been doing. I have tried to be as plain as I can without being too explicit, but I'm just going to go out and say, I am the Father, we're one. And of course, this is straight out of Deuteronomy 6, the Shema, which Jews would say multiple times a day, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And Jesus is saying, well, that God that you pray to, that you believe in, I'm one with him. I am the Father. We are one. Friends, remember that your shepherd, your good shepherd, is the God of the universe. And so you're winning. If you're on his side, you're winning. There's no one more powerful. There's no one with more authority. There is no one above him. And he is the one who promises himself to you as your shepherd. If you are in him. I and the Father are one. Friends, there's so much more that we could say about this passage. And there's loads that I've skipped over, and there's another section of John chapter 10 after this, but for the sake of time, I just want to end with this. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The children, they go to Mr. and Mrs. Beaver's house. Have you guys read the books or seen the films? They go to Mr. and Mrs. Beaver's house, and they hear about Aslan. They hear about this lion, Aslan, he's back in Narnia, and Aslan is on the move, and they hear about Aslan for the first time. And one of the children says to Mr. Beaver, is he safe? Mr. Beaver says, safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king. And friends, I want to leave that with you. I want to remind you that Jesus, he's the God of the universe. He's not someone that you can take for granted. He's not someone who can be played. He's not someone who can be tricked. There's no one higher than him. There's no one above him. He is the God of the universe. Make no mistake. But he's good. And he's the king. And he welcomes you into relationship with him. He invites you into the sheepfold to be one of his sheep. We glossed over it earlier, but part of what Jesus says is that I have sheep who aren't part of this sheep pen. And he's talking about the Gentiles, the ones who are far off, who will be grafted into the family of God. And that's you and I. As a result of Jesus saying, well, I have sheep who I will bring into the sheepfold, you and I get to be here today as followers of Jesus. And so that invitation is for the world, not just for the Jewish people. It's not just for us. It's for this community, for this nation, and for the world. And you get to be a part of it. And you get to be a part of extending it to this world as well. So I pray that you would know that if you are in Christ, if you know that you know that you know that he is your shepherd, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can snatch you out of his hand. That he offers you safety and security, but also freedom and life in everything that that means. That he is your good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And that your task as being part of his sheepfold is to extend that out into the world. To be part of this recreation effort that God by his Spirit is doing in this world. And that you and I are called to be a part of. And we get to be a part of that as his people, as his family. May you know the blessing of being welcomed into the inner life of God. Knowing the same love and intensity that the Father loves the Son and the Son loves the Father. May you know Jesus keeping you safe, securing you now in this life and into eternity. And may you know the abundant life that Jesus leads you into and everything that that means. Amen. Let me pray for you guys as we close.